Minute, okay. I've got the recording going. Yes. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, first order of business: motion to bring the meeting to order. Do I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Vote, guys. Raise hands. Susan and Jean.
Okay.
See that we're voting.
Okay.
Okay. First order of business is to approve the agenda or the minutes from the last meeting?
Agenda.
I think it's agenda. So mm-hmm. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve agenda.
Okay.
Seconded. Everybody vote. Let me see hands. Okay. Then the next motion is I put a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Let's, everybody just voted. Okay, minutes are approved. Okay, so tonight's meeting, the main event is talking about the scholarship program for University City. And we have a couple of guests for that. So I'm gonna turn it over to them.
Okay, do you want me to start, Lisa, or do you want to start?
Debbie, you are the expert, not me. So okay. I'm just trying to bring the right people to the table.
Great. I just didn't know if you. Okay. So yeah. Thank you very much, Lisa, for bringing this to us. And thank you to all of you for your interest in this. So did you all receive, I worked with the Community St. Louis Community Foundation to put together an outline of the different options. I'll go through them with you, but did you receive that, the stuff in writing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you want me to walk you through it a little bit?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the idea is that, as I understand it, you have at this point $50,000, amazingly generous, that you'd like to create, I'm going to say endowment, but there's a couple other options, an endowment for a scholarship in the arts with, you know, in film. For a high school person going on to post-secondary education. So I'll give you, so one option is to create what people call sort of a traditional endowment. And so the reason that we have worked with the St. Louis Community Foundation on different permutations of these over the last year or two that I've been working on these with UCity because they can hold it and invest it. And that I shopped around a lot of different, not a lot, three or four different financial houses to see what would make the most sense. And this is the one that had the lowest administrative load. Was we could go, you can go in with lower amounts of money, and they will manage the scholarship for the donor. Because they have scholarship funds at the Community Foundation. So I can talk about the scholarship process in a minute, but first I'll talk about the investment. So if you do traditional endowment, you take your $50,000, you invest it, St. Louis Community Foundation invests it. Now you get to pick, if you want to, the different pots of how you want to invest it, which funds, et cetera, just like you would with your own money. And then it accumulates interest. And after, I think it's 4 or 8 quarters, after a certain amount of quarters, they will roll off the interest as a scholarship. And it is very, it's dependent on the market, which is, you know, around 4%. Right. So I have one or two people who have done that with UCity in the last year or two. And one family, actually very generous, wanted to get to $100,000 level and was going to fund it at $25,000 each year. But because they wanted to start a scholarship right away, they put in an extra $1,000, $2,000 so that immediately could start the scholarship. So I'm telling you sort of the most traditional form, you can split it up if you want to. You could also take, there's another option called a designated fund, which I have also done with some families. And that can be, that you're investing it, but you don't wait for the interest. So it has the possibility of spending down some of it. So if you put $50,000 in, it would still be invested, but you are sort of giving permission to spend down the corpus to some degree. So you could take off you know, $1,000 a year or $2,000 a year for the scholarship, it would continue to grow at some degree, but you wouldn't be dependent on the market in the same way for how much it generates in terms of interest and income. Is that clear?
Yes.
Yes. Is it with the same company?
It's, yeah, St. Louis Community Foundation. Yes. These are all options with the St. Louis Community Foundation.
What is their percentage that they take?
I think it's like, it's in that document. It depends on the dollar amount that you invest, and I can look that up. Sometimes it's a 1%, sometimes it's a set amount up to a certain amount. I can look at that again. That should be, and I will tell you that is the most competitive. I looked at a couple banks in town. I looked at, and that was the most competitive. I should say the lowest amount because it's a community foundation. It's not a bank.
Right.
Any other questions before I keep going?
So they take a percent every year. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's either that or a straight fee. I can.
Based on what it says $1,000 annual minimum fee or a flat rate 1.5%.
Thank you.
And investments fees are assessed separately. That's what it says on the second page. Where,
yeah,
it's got a heading, what are the fees?
Yeah. And when we get closer to, assuming you still want to do this, get closer to perhaps picking which one, they can be much more precise. And they invest the money in the way that you can do the parameters, but also they manage the scholarship itself, which means that we have a little bit of there's more of a real process for how someone applies for the scholarship, and it can become a little less subjective, which is kind of what you want for something like this over time, because if you're doing a one-shot scholarship, you may have a relationship with a teacher or a counselor or a principal and say, like, I'd like you to pick a student. But if you're doing something that is more long-term, you want a process where it's not dependent on the personality of administrator, in my opinion. I'll give you a couple other options where you don't have to do that. The St. Louis Community Foundation, I've also set up scholarships with them where they set up the scholarship. So let's say you wanted $1,000 a year and you want to hopefully do it. If you're going to four-year college, you want to be able to do it for 4 years for one student, or if you're going to, 2 year or something, you want to do it for the full, hopefully for the full length that the child is in school, so that they can sort of, assuming that they meet the criteria. That's another thing to keep in mind. So they set up the parameters of the scholarship. So, what the essay is that the child has to write and what grades they have to have. And if it's a preference towards film, certainly the arts, and a preference towards film, that goes in there. And then they send notices of the scholarships to the counselors at the school. So the counselor has this as an option and can work with the students to say, these are things that are available to apply for. So they're, in a sense, they're doing the marketing of it, if you will. And they're doing the review and processing of it based on the criteria that you set. So that's also partly why it costs a fee. And it's an investment fee that also you're paying. So those are two options that are just, so one is, one is to draw down a little bit of the corpus. One is to do a straight endowment and you wait a little bit. Or you can do a combination where you do $25,000, for instance, in an endowment, $25,000 or less in a designated fund so that you start rolling off money, but you still get the long-term amount of money that you never touch that's also an option. And you could also, either of these, you could continue to add to every year. If you have $5,000 next year that perhaps is left over, you could add it to the scholarship fund. And you don't have to create a new scholarship each time. There's another option, which is, you could, this would not be an endowment, but you could give the money. I'll just say this is a possibility. You could give the money to the University City Education Foundation and say, every year we want this amount of money to come off and go towards a scholarship for your city. And then you wouldn't have any fees, and you wouldn't have, you wouldn't be working with a with an organization if you really wanted to perhaps own it in a different way. That's a lot more work, and it probably wouldn't earn interest. And that's, well, it's a little more at risk in a different kind of way, but that's something that could be done should you want that.
In other words, it just, we give them the chunk of money and they hand it out, you know, and it keeps going down every year.
Yes. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, but I don't want you to think we have, you know, so I'm just telling you
Debbie.
Yes.
Answer this question for me.
I'll try.
What do you guys want us to do? What do you want?
Oh, I like that question. I like the designated fund. Because I either like a total designated fund or a split between half endowment and half designated fund. This is why. Because an endowment sort of goes on for perpetuity. And you may at some point decide you don't want to keep doing this. You may want to spend it down. You may decide, I don't know. I think a designated fund gives you a little more flexibility with something like a school district where you just never know. And there may be greater needs. You may decide next year, I don't know, the cost of tuition may go up enough that 3 years from now you decide you want to give $3,000 a year. It gives you more flexibility in how much you give out.
Okay, well, I like the designated fund the best as well.
Okay.
You said that with this organization, we could choose how it's invested.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because in my personal world, there's an investment that can be purchased, and I know they can purchase it, or I would want to see if they can purchase it, called the King's Fund. And it is averaged over the last 20 years, even when everybody is at 4%, it's been averaging 10%. So that's something that I would want to look into, because it's definitely a very high yield fund. And it's been recommended to me by a number of investment people, and I've been watched it and have a bunch of my own money in it. And it's done so well, because I am hoping that a 10% would give us more of a scholarship every year and not cause a drawdown. But I also want to make sure that the scholarship is funded every year, even if it requires a drawdown, because at least the scholarship would then go on for probably at least 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yes. And you could also add to it if you want to.
So a question.
It's not going to be around that long.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's the question I have. Like, I mean, we start this, we initiate the scholarship, and, you know, Calip may be around for another few years. Do we have to participate in some way? No.
Nope. That's why the St. Louis Community Foundation is such a good choice, because once you set up the parameters, those parameters are what they are legally bound. So your preferences will be bound to them to do, regardless of what, you know. So if you say, you know, we want a person who, I would recommend the arts with a preference towards film, because there isn't necessarily a film student every year, but you don't have to do it that way. You could say no one can apply for the scholarship unless they're in film. And then maybe 1 year, no one would apply. But which you could certainly do, but you will not have to do anything at all. You will pick, you know, you will work with, and it won't be me because you don't want me deciding on how to invest your money. You will work with them directly to pick the funds, you know, and that's what they do. They're experts there. They'll help you, you know, help you do that, or you know, however you want to talk about it. And then you're for all intents and purposes, and you set the parameters, and then you're done. Now you get constant recognition for this. You get recognition for this for as long as it exists. Every year we'll announce it. Any kind of press that you think would help you, whether or not you're around, you know, it was great. Not you as individuals, you as the organization. And so that's exactly it. It helps you not have to administer a scholarship, which you don't want to administer, even if you are around.
Right.
And okay. Debbie, you would help us set the parameters of that?
Absolutely. And because, I would help you. Yes, go ahead.
Because, and then maybe the first year we launch it and then we revisit it. And it sounds like the designated fund has more flexibility than an endowment.
Exactly right.
It's a more fluid.
Exactly right. In fact, there's a family, I actually grew up on the same block with them. That's a coincidence. It created a designated fund in honor of their parents. And so they wanted it to be in the spirit that their parents had been involved with the district, which was around college readiness. And they started doing it by being pretty narrow in what they wanted to support. And that was not that it's not great, but you know, it was, you know, specifically that year of getting ready to apply to college. And
it
then
started out small.
What?
It started out small.
Yeah. Well, it started out even with that. And so had more conversation with them, they realized, oh, there's other things that also help kids on the trajectory to college, even summer school, even summer camp. And so they started broadening what they wanted to fund, and they had the capacity to do that because it's not stuck in this endowment rigid language. So yes, I'm not sure if that answered your question, but yes.
So 20 years from now, that $50,000 is still going to be there, and there will be nobody to say, you know, use up the $50,000, right?
Well, you know, so that's the other thing about a designated fund. You can decide, you know.
There will be nobody to make that decision
you don't have
around anymore.
But you make it in initially.
So yeah. you can do something about what, you know, if the organization is defunct and there's nobody, then you can designate someone who then is, I don't know what the word is, but then is the person who is the contact. And it could be. It could be the district. It could be someone in the city. It could be, you know, you can designate that. Is that your question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be important for the group to decide like mm-hmm. who that designated, since Calip probably won't be around for very long. So who the designated group would be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can ask, write this down. I can ask, you know, this happens, you know, more, you know, times more often will either an organization is anticipating it won't be any longer, or a family is thinking they're not going to be any longer. So I can ask the Community Foundation a little bit of how they structure something like that. If you are wanting to have flexibility, who is going to decide some of that, some of the decisions, or yeah, we can work on that.
Okay. I would like to make a motion that we do a designated scholarship program for $50,000, and we set that money aside, and then we will work out the details of who the designated person is, but that we will go with Lisa's recommendation here. Did I get your name right? Because it came off the screen.
Debbie.
I'm sorry.
I'm Lisa. Yeah, Debbie. Lisa can make the recommendation. Sorry, I don't even know.
A Lisa and a Debbie. And, you know, I'd like to make a motion that we go ahead and do that because we've been talking about it for a while. And I think that if we go ahead and fund it, it will be a great thing. So do I have a second?
I second. Well, can I just clarify something? To begin for which school year? Like for
the 20? Upcoming.
Upcoming, okay.
Upcoming.
Or the 2020, what would it be? 22, 23 school year?
Yes.
So a senior, somebody who's going to be a senior as of September?
Correct.
Okay.
And I will... we can, you know, we can work on setting the parameters. So, some, you know, that'd be one of them.
Yeah.
I have a couple of thoughts that I want Calip to kind of think about for a second. So
can we do the vote first? Can we do the vote first?
Oh, sure. Yes.
The motion on the table and it's been seconded.
Thank you. We'll
take the vote.
When is it saying?
I'll second. Okay.
Okay. Edwin's up.
Excuse me. Richard.
I'm up. Richard, yes, sir.
I do want to say something. And I just want to make sure you understand this. What Lisa was asking was absolutely appropriate, because you make the motion, you get a second, then it's up for discussion. And what she wanted to do was have a discussion about this issue. So that was absolutely appropriate. You didn't need to have the vote first, because then it makes her discussion maybe
after the fact.
After the fact, right. What was appropriate was the motion, the second, and then the discussion. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Linda, when I see you, smack my hand again.
No, that's fine.
I got you the first time. Yeah, you got a smack coming.
Okay,
Lisa, so Rick made the motion. Suzanne seconded. Now the discussion.
Okay. Well, just a thought. When you guys set the parameters of who would get the money or the scholarship, just to think about like what area of study they would be in. And then the second thought is, do you want it to be available, like a scholarship available for like special programming, like in the summers and things like that? It might be a senior, but there may be some, like, for instance, I'll give you a for instance. At one point, I know Coca did a project with Channel 9 with PBS for kids to do to work on filming, because my kid took that program in the summer. So it was like a, you know, it was like a $200, $300 thing. So it might be too complicated, but I just want to throw that in there because I don't know how many film related majors we'll have per year, you know? So just a thought, put it out there. It doesn't change the amount or how you fund stuff right now. It's just something I wanted to put out there.
There are very special programs like that. So I taught at the St. Louis Community College, a college for kids, and it was a television production class, and it was through the summer. You know, it was independent of the normal school year, but they still got credit, but it was off cycle.
Did they get post-secondary credit? They got some type of community college
credit?
Yes,
they did.
So you could do it, so post-secondary education, that's how we've done it. So it can be, so, because if it's fabulous to do it for community college kids because it's harder for them to get scholarships.
It was just housed at the community college because of their production facilities.
Okay.
So right.
Yeah, I'll work with the community foundation to you know, do an outline of some parameters. Keep talking about this, but I and you know, send it back to you and you'll decide, you'll see it.
Could it be like the arts with the emphasis in film? Just a thought.
Or you could do arts with a priority for film.
Yeah.
So if you got it every year that there was a kid going into film, they'd get it. But if there wasn't, there'd still be the arts. That's a possibility.
If that want to expand to that.
We had, I just set up one for a scholar athlete, and the person wanted to have it for track because it was in honor of her husband, and her husband was a track, either a coach or a player. And the school said to me, you know, we don't always get track. So could we do a priority, you know, a scholar athlete with priority to track? Mm-hmm. So that might, that could be a way.
That's an option.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But so does it ever happen? Like, what if nobody applies or nobody qualifies? What happens then?
Then it rolls over till the next year. Mm-hmm. That's doubtful, but I have not heard of that happening.
Oh, okay.
But it's a great question because it grows and you do it next year.
Well, and then like you said, if you kind of make the parameter where it's, you said the post-secondary
education,
it's not so focused. You got to be going to college to do it. You know, like you can take something in the summer or a weekend something or whatever.
Yeah, and you could say that it has to be credits towards a degree.
Right.
It could be AP credit or something like that as well.
Right.
Yeah, or credit. I would want it to be, well, my thoughts, it's up to you, but it would be credits towards a degree because you don't necessarily want it to be as much of a, like a, maybe a film workshop in the Berkshires. Like, mm-hmm. that might not be what you're going for. Yeah.
Okay. Well, wait a minute now.
But if they need a chaperone, yes.
Okay.
So I'm clear. Designated scholarship program, the $50,000. Oh my God, I don't know what that was I wrote. Debbie will work out the details. Yeah.
Debbie? Yeah, so I would say a designated fund through the St. Louis Community College for $50,000.
Community Foundation.
St. Louis Community, yeah, it's a designated fund. So I right. say, so let's see, a scholarship, a scholarship fund through the St. Louis Community Foundation in a designated fund. What would be the word? Structure.
Yeah, beginning the.
In a designated fund structure, because that's the mechanism. The whole point is this amazing scholarship. The structure for pulling right. the money is, yeah.
And beginning the 22-23 school year.
Yeah. So, and it could be that sometimes there's kids who are graduating in the fall, are graduating mm-hmm. college, you know, and then they might want to start. So, you know, it might mm-hmm. be, you know, it might be earlier. We can, as long as, yeah. So I can, and what's now? It's April. Yeah, we can, hopefully we can get this done. Yeah. So, and do you want me to continue to follow up with the Community Foundation and be the conduit for that?
Yes, please.
Okay. And who do you want me to communicate back with? The whole group? One of you?
What does the group want? Does the group want it to be communicated through me, or do we want to keep having meetings?
I think the whole group.
I think, why don't we meet initially the whole group and then see if we need to continue on like that?
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to provide some assistance. Debbie.
Okay, and who do you want me to say? So when I'm going to go find this information out and send an email before we meet. I think I sent it to Lisa last time. Do you want me to?
Or you can send it directly to me.
You okay?
And I'll send it to the entire group.
Okay. And I have your email, right? Yes, because you set up this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. And do you have so? Not a huge hurry, but I don't want to wait too long to do this. So I'll start doing it now. And then I'll just, do you want me to just, after I get it done, send it to you and then set up a time to talk? Or do you have a regular time that you like to do this?
Yes. Now, once you send it, we'll.
And then we'll set a meeting because we have to do schedules and.
Yeah. And, you know, we could just communicate by email if you don't want to have to meet. It's up to you.
No, they have to meet because it's public.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, yes. They have to.
I missed up. Yeah. Remember recording yeah. this?
You're good. That's fine. Going to
hide anything?
That's fine.
Fine.
All right.
Let's go back to now. Can we vote, or does anybody want to discuss this further?
Okay.
Okay. We had a motion, a second. Can I see a show of hands for the vote? And we are passing unanimously. So that's great. So we will. We now have a Calip scholarship program with University City Schools.
Thank you. Thank you. This is amazing. And
thank you. And it's, you know, I think that's a wonderful way to continue the mission of this group. So
I do too. It's so fitting. Yes. And I went all the way through U City. So anybody who's willing to invest in the kids is really important to me. So thank you. Thank you. Mm. All right. I will go. I'm sure you have other things to do, but thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Debbie.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be in touch.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you.
Because it's a public meeting. You can stay if you want to hear what we're going to talk about.
What are you going to talk about?
The future of Calip.
Yeah, I don't want to know. You go ahead.
Okay.
All right. See you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So that's taken care of. We have... The media center is basically on hold because we're not doing it with continuity. And we have sent the $500 that we approved to Del Mar Divine. So right now we have, we'll get a treasurer's report for the next meeting.
You got one.
Oh, we have one?
But it doesn't include the 500 because you just signed off on that. But I did include
what report in your packet. What was our total?
Your total was $126,345.00.
Okay. So basically, now that we have just approved.
So minus 500, minus that 50.
Right. So we're down to about $75,000 in the Calip funds.
Right.
So I'm meeting in 2 weeks with the Regional Arts Commission about doing matching grants. And what I want to put forward is, do we want to, knowing that Suzanne, you're going to be retiring from this commission as soon as we let you go.
As soon as, I hope we can find somebody else, okay.
And Joan is leaving the commission.
Oh.
Because she is, because of her health, she has sold her house in University City and will be moving. So she will no longer be here. And I believe my tenure is going to be up shortly, that I will have been on for two terms and won't be eligible to be on Calip anymore. And I think Edwin will be stepping down when I step down, which means the Calip Commission is going to be down to Eugene. And the question I have is, with 70, what?
It wouldn't be anybody.
Well, Jean still is here, Dr. Jean.
Oh, you said Joan. Okay.
Joan.
Jean. Me and Dr. Jean. Okay, we can do it, Dr. Jean. Okay.
And since it has been very difficult to recruit people for the Calip Commission to keep us up, and we it's been difficult. I am wondering if we should not grant the remainder of the Calip Commission's money out to an organization with an advisory board. And Jean, you can help me on this. That is specifically that it will be granted to assist video production and video learning and video grants, but that there won't be a need to rebuild the Calip Commission with five new members, that will probably start it in a whole different direction. And Dwayne, you're just raising your hand and I'm going to call on you. So you tell me what you think, because I know that you're going to tell me the legal aspect of this.
No. What I will say to you, Rick, is and to the group is that it has been difficult. But what I would actually suggest is that let's push this to the council so that we're actually aware of this situation and then see if we can come up with members to fulfill that. I would actually state that I'm not sure when, you know, most of everybody is leaving. Is it at the end of this year? Because if you would give the council that much, that time frame, and we'll look at this and look at recruiting other people to fill your positions. If we're not able to do that in that time frame, then I think that your suggestion would be valid at that time, if you understand what I'm saying. So when would be your last term? And I can look this up or get that information from Linda.
But that would be more of a Larit.
Okay, that's fine.
Thing you would have to find.
Right.
Suzanne was gracious enough to stay.
Right.
Until somebody was found.
Right.
I got to believe Suzanne could say, okay, tonight's my last night.
Right.
Joan, what's her timetable? Is she officially, you know, it's knowing.
I think she officially becomes a non-University City resident either at the end of this month or the end of next month. I think she got 90 days. And you know, you all know that Joan is on oxygen. She is on dialysis every night.
Okay.
This is a strain for her. And the move is definitely for her health. And
okay.
I don't think the rules allow for a non-university resident to be on this commission.
Okay, well, so then what I will do is that I'll email Larique for tomorrow to make sure I get all of the information about everyone's term. And then what I'll do is at the next council meeting, which is at the end of this month, I'll make sure the council is aware that members are needed. And then I'll update you from there. Okay.
Okay. Cause Wayne, I have recruited Joan, Edwin. I've done all the recruiting the last couple of years. And as Suzanne knows, before I came on board, the Caleb Commission was not actually putting out grants or doing anything.
Right. I do understand.
I want to make sure that if there is a new commission, that it's going to be active and not just
staying.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. I'm new to this as a council liaison. So again, hopefully we can get something done, and I will definitely look into that. So thank you. And I thank you for your service and your help with keeping this going. Thank you.
Now, Rick, I have a question. So I'm clear and I don't have to listen to the recording. You were saying that if it did come to an end, you'd like the remaining funds to
go to an organization that the funds would be dedicated to doing grants and continuing to promote video in St. Louis, whether it's to help promote the building of a media center or it's to promote individual things, and that I would advise that there be an advisory committee to work with them, which I would be happy to be on, but I'm not going to be legally able to be voting on anything with Caleb. I think it's September, and you know, and we won't be able to vote on anything once,
but just advise.
Once Joan and Susan are not, until we have replacement people for them, because we don't have a quorum. And it seems like asking people to come on board to a commission that has only $75,000 to grant, which is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money when it comes to granting for actually trying to do the research and everything that we're doing to be able to put these grants out and the work that I put in bringing the people in. It seems like a lot to ask of people for something that, since unless Wayne's and the commission and the council decides they want to fund Caleb and keep it going, that's a totally different story. But if it's just a spend down that we're going to have no funds to spend or grant, then there's really no point in there being the commission. That's why I said, when she was saying adding to the scholarship fund, we're not going to be around because we all expire.
Right.
Not in the real
that
world.
Right.
Dead, but it'll be a totally different group.
Your term comes to an end. Now, just as a thought, and that's me thinking.
Don't do that.
I'm trying not to, but you got the brain matter going. Wayne, help me here. I'm also the liaison for Arts and Letters. And they have a fund set up by the Marvin Levy family. And it's designated for art,
public art, through the
public
through,
art
with working with Wash U's art program,
their public art program, and it can only be used for that program.
Exactly right. And Linda, can I say something? Just I was thinking the same exact thing.
And then you, in essence, become an advisor, because organizations and groups and whatevers have come to Arts and Letters requesting funding for various projects. Some they've agreed, some they haven't. But something possibly be set up like the Levy Fund.
Right.
It would strictly have to be for film.
For film.
It's an already established commission. There are 15 members. That's a thought.
And then one other thing that I will say to Rick, just like with the Levy Fund, I believe that Frank Ohlendorf is the advisor for that mm-hmm. fund. So that you could serve as the same role mm-hmm. As the advisor for that fund. Now you wouldn't have to participate in meetings or anything, mm-hmm. but making sure that they stay in line with the purpose of that, you mm-hmm. would be the advisor. You could in fact be the advisor for that.
I would like to clarify something. Mm-hmm. It seems like are we assuming now at this point that the proposal to rent space from the Del Mar Divine is gone, has been rejected? Where are we?
It is gone.
It is gone. That's what I didn't. I didn't know if that was officially voted against.
Well, it wasn't. We voted.
But you had a time frame, didn't you?
We had a time frame, and we didn't have anybody that we wanted to fund, since Continuity was not actually going to do what we wanted them to do. So we gave the Del Mar Divine the $500, which it was what it cost for them holding it for 30 days.
Okay.
And it was the last space there, and they've rented it to someone else. So it's not a possibility right now.
Okay.
So I would love to find a media center option, and an organization to run it, but I have put my feelers out and I have not come out with anybody, but I would still be something that I think that whatever rendition the Caleb Commission goes forward with, it would be very interesting to do. Now, I have a question for Wayne and Linda. This other commission you're talking about, if the money is shifted to that commission, will it be invested to actually earn money, or will it just sit like it has sat? Because I think that there's an opportunity, much like the scholarship fund, to put it into a designated endowment or fund that it's going to generate a grant or two every year.
And those are stipulations or parameters that you guys could set. And again, I'm spitballing here. They may not even want to do. Who knows?
But okay.
I know there is a precedence already established with the fund. I can't tell you all the particulars in regards to what type of fund or, you know, how it's set up and all of that. The Arts and Letters Commission, they do have a president, vice president, secretary, and a treasurer.
Are they a university city commission?
Yep.
Yes.
Municipal Commission on Arts and Letters.
Oh, so actually, once I'm done with Gallup, I could actually volunteer to be on that commission.
Yes.
If there was
absolutely. That's exactly right.
Yeah, you couldn't be a
and Rick, I will tell you that we can Linda and I can
and he's
have a
discussion the
with the city manager to mm-hmm. verify how we invest that money, and mm-hmm. And that absolutely can be done, where it actually doesn't just sit there but can in fact grow.
And I think the Levy Fund is in some type. It may not be something you might be thinking about, but I think it is in some type. It's not just in, you know, just checking account.
Okay.
And then this could be, quite honestly, a different genre for Arts and Letters. This could be a totally different genre for Arts and Letters.
Right. And they could still do matching funds with RAC, or however mm-hmm. they wanted to grant.
They
out.
Do that. They've done that.
Yeah.
This and is the commission that does like the, they do a returning artist program every year with the schools. They do the Starlight Concerts in the park every summer. They do, what is it? Literary influence.
And also the public art program
with Washington University.
Right. Well, it sounds like they should have a film art.
That'd be another genre.
Yes, and that sounds like to me a great option rather than, and that if the Caleb Commission switches over to there, and Dr. Jean, if you'd like to join that commission or be an advisor to that commission, I think we mm-hmm. could bring something to that commission and not have to be a separate entity.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially if, and it's not just Caleb, it's all the commissions. I mean, Arts and Letters, and while I say it's 15, they've just kind of gotten back to 15 members. I mean, it hasn't always been 15, but they have enough so that they can have meetings. You know, if you lose two people, you, whatever,
yeah,
you know, type thing. So, and it's already established.
I think that's perfect.
It's already
established. I think that sounds really great. I do. And I think it gives us flexibility that we can volunteer mm-hmm. as much as we want. And,
right. Because they meet. Now, they do meet every month, second Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. But because of COVID, trust me, I do. I'm liaising with the three commissions. You guys, Arts and Letters, and Senior. So, but they do meet except for August and December.
So okay.
I think we would bring a lot to that, Arts right. and Letters. I really do. I think mm-hmm. we would round that out.
Mm-hmm. How is the Arts and Letters funded? Are they funded by
the city? They are funded. Well, they have, the city provides them funds. They get like $20,000 a year from the city. They have, like I said, the separate account, Levy account, and then they get grants, like from RAC or donations.
Well, great. We might be able to, they might be able to, if we have make a good case, they might be able to add to the $75,000 and expand their scope into film and video, since mm-hmm. that is what's going on. And it's even mm-hmm. part of some public art now where the video is projected on buildings or the mm-hmm. screen for the public. So I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make a motion that we explore that and that Buane looks into talking to the council to say, do you want to fill these seats in the Caleb Commission? And can I get a vote on that?
I vote for it.
Yes. Okay.
Second,
or whatever I need to do. Okay.
Show of hands. Jean, I'm looking for your hand if it's there. Okay. It's been unanimously decided that we're going to explore that possibility.
Okay.
Okay. So my next motion is we're not going to set the time for the next meeting until we hear back from Lisa.
Debbie.
I'm sorry. Okay. From Debbie. And that we're going to, in the meantime, explore the options of what's going to happen to the Caleb Commission. Hopefully we'll get that wrapped up in a month, and Linda will let me know if I'm no longer president by the end of the month, because mm-hmm. I've lost track of time.
Still got a hand slap come.
I do have you can do both hands, honey. And now I'm making a motion to close this meeting for today. Can I get a second?
I'll second. Okay.
Show of hands, are we all ready to say goodbye? I hope everybody was very safe today with all of the rain and the grayness and the spring happening, and everybody's tulips are good. And it's wonderful working with all of you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
So excited about everything. Yes. Good bye-bye. Deal. Thank you. All stay right. well, everyone.
Good bye. Night, all.
Bye. Good night.